Hello everyone, my name is Christian Lander. I'm the producer and host of Our Curious World, and I come to you today with honesty in my heart and a confession to make. In the conversation that I had with Louis J. Coleman on the concepts around digital immortality, the idea of humans and machines merging together, and all the ways that can happen, and a conversation that is thoroughly interesting, the confession is that in the opening few minutes, I'm aware there's a bit of sound feedback that has happened between the microphone and the speaker that makes perhaps the first couple of minutes not so easy to listen to. I'm aware of this. I apologise that it happened. And please enjoy what is a interesting and thought-provoking conversation. I think how we tapped each other up was I'd sent a tweet out talking about digital immortality, and you replied, and I learned about your website, that is Generation Bot. I mean, you have a pretty comprehensive website here that really impressed me, and particularly when I learned about your age, I was like, this guy has actually done a considerable amount of thinking and writing. So what got you along this thought track, man?
Well, there are two things to this. First of all, Elon Musk comes in Neuralink. The fact that you could have, at some point, a neural lace that interfaces directly between machines and like your brain to reach like super intelligence, like that was just an amazing idea. And secondly, the big push was actually the Black Mirror series. The whole like out of the box thinking by Charles Brooker, it's just a brilliant series.
It is, yeah.
It really made me think about it.
Because I really, the one thing I like about Black Mirror is I was a really big fan growing up with the original Twilight Zone series. So I kind of grew up kind of with those kind of shows always in mind, like the Twilight Zone, The Outer Limits, the kind of quirky story that has a moral tale to it. And when I saw Black Mirror, it was like, this talks to me even more, because it talks about technology that is, it's so close, it's almost here. And that near future, yeah. It isn't always dystopian, but the twist on it is a very real twist. It can almost happen and almost go wrong, because that's the way the human world works. And I think that's why Black Mirror works, because we know humans don't like to have things go wrong.
Yeah, that's one big aspect of it. If governments don't like regulate, which at the current pace they'll leave it later and later, there's high potential for democracy to be entirely ruined. Like we're very fucked, essentially.
I like how you said
if they don't do anything.
It's true. Is it because technology is outpacing our ability to understand what it is we're coming up with? Do you think that's what it is?
In part, but even like episodes like Be Right Back, where you have someone who dies in a car crash and then is essentially like his social records, his private records are all analysed, and he's put into a body that looks like him. You could have something like that, where say someone dies, they like no one knows they've died. They could be analysed and have like a fake version of them in a fake body, and then that body goes on controlled by some like mastermind who's not known.
I mean, I guess that what would terrify some people is that perhaps they might be digital versions of loved ones. They're walking around and doing all their real life things, but they're perhaps the loved ones, they have no idea that it is a replicant or a duplicate of some kind. People feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's up to now, everything has been in like good faith, but there's no technological reason why someone couldn't hack someone's like WhatsApp, Skype, whatever, any kind of calls, and create a digital profile of them that is almost indistinguishable from the real version.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, you see, say on Facebook, that's quite a very common problem, isn't it? Where it's very easy to copy someone's profile, because if they've got it listed as public, they can just copy all those posts down or that profile picture and create a duplicate. That's very easy, a very surface level example. But I guess when you're talking about a very personal, identity of someone, and I guess as we move now towards more Neuralink stuff, where people can actually upload their entire brain to the cloud, as it were, or certainly a memory imprint upload, Perhaps someone could download that and then manipulate it and send it back to the original user. I mean, I don't know how far that technology is along the lines at the moment.
Yeah, no, if I mean, assuming that brain uploading is possible, which we don't know if it is or not yet, if there was some security breach and suddenly you had access to like 10% of the digital population, you could like delete that, you could manipulate that, you could edit it in whatever way, and people wouldn't necessarily know about it or be able to act.
I think also as people commit more and more to the cloud, I mean, you might find that everything from like your driving license to your bank details to your everything you own potentially could be on a database. Although that database right now is still a bit, it's scatty. It's not quite all together, but there's no reason why it can't be. Perhaps it's just legislation keeping it apart.
Yeah, like the legislation is the only thing that's keeping us from like complete devastation. And if we are to continue in the rate of which we do, which like by the way, that as it stands with technology, like in recent times, we have the catastrophic thing happening before the regulations.
Yes.
If this happens with digital immortality, it could be like a massive disaster on a scale we've not yet seen.
Because I still don't think people have actually caught up with what technology can do. I mean, we're pretty much always probably
No.
connected to our smartphone, aren't we? We have, and it contains our entire life, our contacts list if you keep it up to date, everything and everyone we connect to, and social media. I mean, social media literally is our almost online identity now. As where before it was just a computer
Yeah,
post.
yeah.
Now it's everything. We post everything from our dinner to where we go. And I think the way that Google works, really interestingly, and where the how Google Maps tracks traffic, of course, is how fast its mobiles are traveling and the speed of traffic lines. So when you go on Google Maps, you can see where to avoid traffic because those mobiles in that area are traveling faster or slower. And that's pretty
Yeah, it's
amazing
crazy.
tech. Modern
Like
day.
even things like receipts through Gmail, like they are recording that data, and not like very few people know about that. They know like exactly what you've purchased, when, what your interests are. They probably know stuff about you that you don't even know yourself.
Well, so you
That's
might
like
have.
very scary to think about.
It says the patterns that we perhaps do on a day, well, perhaps just going to and from work is being recorded, where we go shopping the most frequently, whether it be online or in person. We're always taking our phone with us, we're always taking a bank card with us. So perhaps the only way to stay off the grid is to just use cash, which of course we're being incentivized not to.
Yeah, the problem is that like staying off the grid, staying anonymous online, it's just not taught like anywhere apart from like videos. If you search up like to find them, they are there, but it's just really the information is not out there.
It's true.
Like people don't know what these companies are, the information they are gathering about us, so they don't do anything about it.
No. So, dude, so digital immortality then. So, how would it be possible? We're talking about, say, neural link. So, what is the possibilities of neural link? Because I guess I'll pretend to be devil's advocate and pretend I don't really know much about it, so you can explain a bit more. So, if you were to explain to a layperson, what would that mean?
Well, with Neuralink, it's going to be a I'll just get up here. I think it's going to be a like a mesh that you put on the brain, and that can connect to your like smart devices, your house, your car, like whatever. As for actual digital immortality, there are two main types. One, you can have AI look through all your records and create a digital profile of you that it thinks how it thinks it's acting how you would act. The other option, which is more what I talk about on Generation Bi, is actually having something scan your brain and then like create a 3D digital map of that, which can be translated into like circuitry or memory and all of that for a digital form. And then through both ways, you could live on the cloud, but there's no reason why you'd have to live in the real world. But personally, I think living as a robot is more accurate to digital immortality.
Yeah, because it's like how to extend your life, or certainly how to extend something about your essence beyond your physical life, isn't it? And I guess if you could leave a breakdown or a profile or a map of identity of who you were and are, because I sort of I said to a colleague the other day about what about the idea of living beyond your physical life, physical death, and the first response they had was a very spiritual one. I don't know why I didn't think about it. They says, well, if my spirit's going off one way and doing one thing in the ethereal world, I've now got a digital duplicate doing its own thing. Isn't that somehow just messing with the laws of everything that should be moral and ethical?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because all these religions, they promise the the afterlife or the metaphysical immortality, whereas this would be a true secular immortality. You would live forever in this world.
And I suppose you make an interesting point there, is that you know that you would exist after life. As where,
Yeah.
as opposed to, going to church or going to mosque or doing all the things you've got to do to guarantee your potential in an ethereal afterlife, which somebody told you in a book thousands and thousands of years ago. This is, well, the technology is here, you can do this.
Yeah.
Do you think there would be a time then if you, because I think when I read your first blog post, on your website, actually, it says to read your first overview post. And I did do that, and I was like, it mentions that you perhaps would have to destroy the, it would destroy the brain or destroy the scan.
Yeah.
Is, I was wondering about that, because is that to basically create a stop point of when the original one existed, and that then continues? Is that how you meant that?
Yeah, because I think that if you, well, the way I envisioned it, which might not be the what actually happens, I have no idea. I'm not a neuroscientist at all. Is you have something actually like picking apart and like scanning through each individual neuron in the brain, and that process would probably cause like irreparable damage to the biological version of the brain. But also at the same time, I don't know if you'd want to keep your biological self. I don't personally, I wouldn't want to have two versions of me that think they are me. I'd
Yeah.
rather have just one version.
I think that's been dabbled to in Star Trek Next Generation, doesn't it? Wasn't it? I think one of the characters, he transported down to a planet, there was a problem, and somehow his life got split into two. One stayed on the planet, one went off to the Enterprise and did its own thing. 30 years later, they appeared to meet back up with each other, having both now had a life, and it's like, this is awkward. Because one's had a very
Yeah.
different life to what we now know as the main character was. Is it
Yeah.
with a digital version? I think I'd agree with you. If you were to do that, you would perhaps need to, once the scan is done, that would have to be it, because it potentially would be catastrophic.
Yeah, and that aspect of identity, I think the system, like governmental finance business system, is built on the idea of the individual. And as soon as you create something that is
A duplicate.
two of an individual or three of an individual, the system collapses. Like if I wanted to withdraw 50 quid from my bank account, but there were like seven people claiming that that's their bank account, like legitimately, because it is different versions of me,
Yeah,
it just wouldn't work.
that's a very interesting thought, actually. So more people, because like you said, legitimately it's their money as well, but who physically has the cash? That's an interesting idea. So I think Black Mirror has been quite the inspiration for you. I mean, when you first saw that episode, how did it make you think? Was that the catalyst to help you start writing Generation Byte?
Essentially, yeah. I actually started on season four because I didn't realize what was happening. It was USS Callister, which is one of the ones where it is true brain uploading.
It is, yes.
Yeah, and that's the gaming aspect, and like from that I thought, well, clearly what they've shown is that if you can upload your brain, essentially any gaming, any game that you want, you can do. It's fully simulated reality, which in my mind is like the end point for gaming software.
Yeah.
Like we've tried. Like we started off with like physical games like chess or drafts and all that, And then as we've progressed, we've had digital games, we've had mobile games, virtual reality, bring it closer and closer to ourselves.
Yes.
This would be like within ourselves, essentially. It'd
Yeah.
be like internal native software gaming.
Well, that's a really interesting way to put it, is internal software, because I guess you'd have to, you would see it through your own mind, really, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I guess, again, the Star Trek thing example, I guess, is the holodeck, where you physically are touching things through force fields and stuff. But you're actually talking about a fully immersive environment where, what I think, like in the Matrix, of course, there's the example where Morpheus gives that all sensory input is actually just due to electrical impulses in the brain. So everything you see, you touch, and smell
Yeah.
actually can be completely replicated. And he's absolutely right. That is. And can we do that? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. If everything is, if we are living as a robot and everything we see is formatted camera vision, thermometer, you have GPS location, all of these sensors, everything that you would need to essentially get around, you already know how to program that to interact with the brain. So then you can also add artificial inputs, which is where you get into augmented reality, virtual reality, and fully simulated reality. Like you could be in a game and you could have a sense of the temperature. If you went into a really hot area, you could suddenly feel really hot. And
Yes.
that's something that you can't do right now, even like with haptic suits and all of that, like that kind of thing.
You can't do the lava level in a Mario, though, can you? So that would be kind of like looking down and obviously
Well, you
see the
might have to
lava
turn that
below
on.
you. Yeah. Oh man, because I actually was there's a particular episode of Black Mirror where it talks. Well, actually, it's two distinct female characters who fall in love with each other in an AR reality. And they,
Sandra Pedro,
that's right. Yeah, I thought it was a really profound episode. How perhaps the way that it would be implemented in the future, or potentially as an idea, is actually in a end of life care, to upload someone or to have them in a simulated environment where they can go out and get drunk, or they can go to the pub or the nightclub, whatever, and they can have an entirely new avatar, meeting other avatars, much the same way we do VR chat today. But of course, they fall in love, and that particular character, and obviously never met in real life.
Yeah, that's like another frontier for it is actually not just gaming, but social interactions, like sexuality, sex, and all of that. Like everything that we experience as humans can be simulated better as a like, digital being.
Yeah. And I guess.
And like that, like, yeah, I particularly like that episode because like at the end where they show you like how they've done it. That to me is probably most accurate to how it would be done, how they've got the small thing in a database.
Yes.
If you are going to live entirely in the simulated world, you probably would just have like a small device storing like essentially you in just this massive warehouse of everyone else. So yeah.
Absolutely. And do you think it's a scary prospect for people to consider that that is so close?
Well, I'm not sure if it's so close. The closest that people reckon it could be that I've seen on online is about 2045, which is like going to be the date of the AI singularity. But the fact that it's even within this century, if you're looking on the scale of like all of human history, that is actually very close. Like potentially you and I could upload our brains and then we could live forever. It could be like the oldest humans in like 1,000 years, we could live for a million
I'd
years.
still exist here, yeah. Or then enter perhaps a physical avatar, like the film Surrogates, where you then have a character who walks around, looks like a younger version of yourself, maybe.
Yeah.
Or you don't even have to be a human shape. You could be like, I think, like you actually posted on you could have six legs, and I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, like
And that moment.
you could even be a car or something. Like there's not as long as you have a format of how to get around, and you can do that with AI. You can technically beat that. There's no reason to stick to humanoid shapes.
And I think that's actually where, in the conversations I've had over the last couple of weeks, is where the conversation always geared towards identity in regards to, say, how it is currently, where we're going through a bit of a trans revolution. Lots of people are, they're varying their sexuality, they're varying their gender, and how does that play into in with technology adding an extra level to that spectrum?
Yeah.
And I actually
I
found that
mean,
quite profound.
yeah, I mean, there's always the a common internet meme. I identify as a Apache helicopter.
Absolutely, that goes perfect.
You literally could.
You
Like, there's
could.
no reason why not to. I mean, it'd be a bit weird. It'd be pretty
Yeah.
cool, but
Yeah,
I mean, you could.
because I guess if you could identify yourself as like an Apache helicopter, but you could literally live as but in the VR world, so in the simulated world, or even in you upload yourself to an avatar, you could literally live your life as the unicorn that you've always wanted to be, or you
Yeah,
could
yeah.
be that hybrid of an animal, like the horse is quite a popular one, the centaur stuff. And I can imagine that in the VR, in the hypersensory reality that cat could be, that all that kind of the sexuality of that would perhaps exist, where people perhaps there's a rhino and one's a horse or something. We've I guess the furry community would be up in arms about this. I'd love it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you carry on with this, I don't even see the point in defining sexuality. If you can just be interested in whatever and have that be available to you like instantly,
Yeah.
you could just like ask your brain to simulate you with like whatever, like some
Giant spider.
fit actress, some weird animal. Anything you wanted, it could happen.
Yeah, I guess that throws up more levels of, ethical debate, doesn't it?
Yes.
I guess more people would be already exploring that before there's any legislation for it. Because like, and the joke is there's always a porn for it. I think you put it up there quite nicely. It's actually true. I'm sure there's a porn of that because that might well be because someone's bound to do that.
Yeah.
But I guess with that, you might even create almost an underground black market for that kind of stuff. And the human mind is quite a disturbing place as it is for many people. So you can imagine where that's going to go with some. But it's a fascinating idea to have. I mean, identity. We were talking about like how now you have. Trans athletes, of course, is a particular sticking point debate now, where you have men who've transitioned to become women because they're women, they're competing in women's sports and just decimating world records and so on. I think this week there's actually been a weightlifter who's like lifted like 293 kilos. A female woman that will never, who's had XX as her genome, will ever be able to reach that. Her body density is not strong enough. But with technology such as an avatar character or in the digital world. That opens up a whole new trans, conversation. What
Yeah, I
trans
mean,
athlete?
even if you were sticking to like biological humanoid shapes, it's not a big surgery, big like hormones, all of that. It's literally just you take this component off, you put that component on.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted, you could have both. Like there's, you could have like it sounds absurd, but you could have like boobs on your front, boobs on your back, boobs on your feet, whatever. It's
Some
absurd, but
there
it's
are some
possible.
people who would do it. Kim Kardashian would do
Yeah.
it.
I mean, you could even just have like a pleasure button. You just like press it, there you go. Like, there's not even any reason to stick to like any of the biological organs.
No, but then that plays into the interesting point. Then is it would sex even be a necessity or a feeling or an emotion to physically to have if you can do anything? And I think in your mind, if you have an
Don't
integrated hive brain,
know.
would you even need that? I mean, I guess also that leads to the point of no more secrets. If you everyone's brain is uploaded to the net, or there perhaps is no hidden memory or hidden idea or thought or feeling that's hidden from everybody else, and that opens up a whole new kettle of fish in itself.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Privacy is probably the one major holdback. If you are doing this by a like a company, say if like Google created it or Facebook created it, if you allowed them to upload your brain, they'd know everything about you, like the deepest secrets. That's like the one potential like holdback, which is why I think personally that it should be done by an international organization that doesn't look into your analytics unless if you specifically ask them to, like an opt-in
Sure.
instead of like like the standard opt out that we seem to be going to.
The privacy thing, I mean, it's scary enough now that how much you give away. I mean,
Yeah.
recently, like, the GDPR came through, and so you go to some websites, and before it goes, oh, press accept. And it's like, no, let me just check what I'm giving away. And then you realize there's this list of about 80 companies who are all taking analytics, just the fact that you're visiting this website. And you're going, no, I'll just reject all and leave it alone.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're almost restricting yourself from content because that's the way it works. That's the drawing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've had to put that on my site. I don't know. I mean, I know Google has the analytics and all that, but like the data that I can look at, I can see someone's IP, their location, what they've looked at. I think I can even tell their age sometimes.
Interesting.
Like, it's, and I'm not even trying to do any of this. This is just automatic. Like, companies that are trying to do this, they know like pretty much stuff about you that you don't even know. Like, I've got this joke that Mark Zuckerberg knows the size of your cock. They know everything.
It's quite likely. Has he hacked into my phone or my, and I've looked and it's all well known, but then the. I still wonder though, what is the purpose of having so much data? Is it just to collect more and more about you? Because it almost doesn't seem practical to have so much about individuals.
Yeah, well, I mean, currently it's just for it. Well, it used to be just for ads, and then you have scandals like Cambridge Analytica, where they're targeting you based on your political beliefs. Well, like Brexit was, they overspent the budget, and that overspend reached 3 million people, which potentially moved the vote to the Leave side. And our system doesn't know how to deal with that. That's why we're going through with it, even though we know that it's highly likely there was electoral fraud. But like we didn't know that that could even happen at the time.
No,
Well, the people in government did.
I guess it's always like, it's like freak accidents that happen, and then that causes governments or policy to change and to twist, or even just individuals' actions. I mean, I guess you see a story now, and based on perhaps on your history, that will be the kind of things that you see more often. So I don't know, maybe let's use an example of say a Black Lives Matter person. They might then see more adverts that are more geared towards those kind of things you see in the news. So they have then a skewed perspective because that's the news feed that they're seeing. Because they must see shit's
Yeah.
happening everywhere, but they're not seeing what the opposite is, perhaps. And I guess that goes to anybody. That can be anybody for every interest, really. Maybe you're only seeing posts about Transformers or the latest movie only because that's what's being driven to you because that's what you are expected to like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big ethical dilemma, but it's sort of one that like we haven't been able to regulate because the people in government don't understand.
No.
And if that continues, as you get with like more, as we've gone progressively more into it, we've had things that are getting closer and closer to like our personal selves, and the consequences have been seemingly getting worse and worse and worse, with action actually getting slower.
Yeah,
Like
absolutely.
we'll have the Cambridge Analytica scandal before the action, which is just the wrong way about it. We should have the regulation first to stop any action.
The thing is, I guess it has to be understood, and they'll go, "Well, it's never going to happen," and then it does happen.
Yeah.
How would you even? You got a plan for such measures, but if it's never gone live, as it were, how do you plan for what those contingencies are going to be? I mean, it's a huge nightmare for legislation in terms of logistically organising that. I wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah. I mean, we get bogged down with like current issues and current affairs and all that. Whereas really we should be regulating like neural lace technology or digital immortality now, before, like, well before anything happens. So we can have our thought experiment, see what would happen if we allow this. Oh, that could potentially cause devastation. Let's not allow that. Let's go back to this, let's review that. So we have the robust system before the technology even becomes remotely possible.
Because I learned about, actually through your website, actually, I learned about Nectome, which is the promising to freeze brains of people cryogenically. And I guess the idea would be
Yeah.
when the technology comes along, they've paid enough money to then have that digital upload available, and then they can then live in their new future body or in some kind of digital status. And that kind of reminds me of the kind of the fad that happened certainly through the 80s, late 80s into 90s, where people had their bodies cryogenically frozen. I don't know how many of those companies are actually still operating. I don't know how big that market was or and now continues to be.
No. No, I don't really know how many people have taken up this idea, because it's not. I mean, it even now it seems at least decades away. Like I'd say that someone of my age probably has a 60% chance, of being able to upload my brain, assuming technology does become possible at some point in this century.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's the environmental factors and all that first, and what's gonna go on geopolitically in the world. I think
Yeah,
if
that is a
technology
problem.
keeps rolling at this point, yeah, like you said, 2045 seems about right. But I don't know how the world's gonna cope with the tragedies, the challenges that are coming our way at the moment. So I was looking about
Yeah.
the hope for the older generation. I guess we've touched on that, haven't we? The ways of combating aging. Yeah, what is it? What did I see? I made a particular note to actually talk about it. I think it was on your roadmap to immortality, I think. Yeah, I think it's about the biohacking, the RFID. I mean, some people really kind of get nervous when they hear that term RFID, the chip. But the fact that they probably have more than 40 or 50 around them already without them even realizing.
Yeah,
My
that's probably true.
clocking card at work, is an RFID card. All our bank cards, when you're in contactless, is an RFID in there. Do they talk to each other? I wonder. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean there are people who just put RFID chips into their hand, and like if they're going through the tube system or metro for other regions, they just don't need a card. They just put their hand on the thing and they go through. Or bank cards, they just have it in their hand, and that's one thing that's getting closer to living in a digital body. I think what we'll see is, until full digital immortality is possible, we'll invent technologies to bring ourselves closer and closer to that, sort of like cyborgs
Yeah, I guess
in
a
some sense.
cyborg, the kind of the cyberpunk era, the dystopian what might exist. But I guess when you start integrating with technology, when you start having that the transhumanist, is transhumanist with does that fit within the circle of digital immortality? Are they enough of the same of each other, or are they two distinct things, do you think?
I think the digital immortality idea is a subset of transhumanism, and transhumanism is a subset of futurism. So I think if you believe in that, you probably are a transhumanist, but you don't have to be a transhumanist and believe in that sort of, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, but do you think people want to survive after death? Because I don't think.
I don't know if everyone will, but I mean, I do. People have asked, about half do. Some are still like, oh no,
Get in the
that's
ground,
weird.
so.
Yeah, but at the same time, give it like, I think it was 70 generations or something like that. Then, if you assume 1% of the population adopts the technology, after 70 generations, you have the midpoint where you got 50% biological and 50% immortal. And I think the adoption curve will actually be a lot like Stephen. It's like an S curve with most technologies, where at the start it's very slow, and then has a sudden kick upwards, and then you just get the very like last 10% at the end, which takes a bit longer. But if you have one side where they are against it and they're mortal, and you have the other side immortal, even at the lowest adoption rate, eventually the immortal side always wins.
they live forever. They'll outbreed, and well, if they do breed. So what about the internal? What kind of software would it have to be? Because I guess it could have a pretty interesting database in order to store that. I mean, do we have anything that's kind of close to that now? Cause I do hear about like Google's DeepBrain projects and their AI systems. I mean, the storage database must be pretty crazy. Tech-wise.
Well, I don't know precisely how much you'd need or how much memory is in the brain, but one good analogy is general AI or like superintelligent AI. Most people agree that is possible. And if that is possible to store, the storage for someone's brain should also be possible. I don't see why it wouldn't be.
No, you're absolutely right. I covered quite a few different subjects over the years, and one of the ones I came across was I believe it was the University of Edinburgh, and it kind of popped up as part of ASAP. ASAP is the Association for the Scientific Study of the Paranormal, of the anomalous phenomena stuff. And one of their studies, one of their science studies they covered, was in regards to dreams and dream recording. And when I saw the mind map stuff of what they were trying to do, I was like, I've seen this technology before, and that's why I instantly clicked. I went to try and find their document. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it in their science journals. But what it is, it's a very similar system where you can upload dreams in much the same way. So it's like a mesh that sits over your head, mainly because it's picking up on different parts of your brain that are stimulated when you sleep. So it could be when you're thinking about, I don't know, drinking, or when you're thinking about jumping, you will have a certain sensory input that will go off in the brain. So the idea is you would create a map of someone's thought areas where they were doing something, and then you could either put that onto somebody else, and then they could, if they go to sleep, have the same experience as if they were fed in the same order. And I appear to have some quite interesting results out of that. So when I saw the idea you could upload a neural lace and perhaps give that to somebody else, yeah, that didn't seem too far away at all.
Yeah, no. Elon has said there's going to be an announcement soon. He said been saying that for quite a while now. So always give him a bit more time. But the fact that it's like remotely near, like even like 2025, that sounds quite far away. But it's like time does go quite fast. So that would be amazing to have it possible by then. Like the idea is that once you've uploaded your brain, you could have something analyze that, and potentially you could analyze everyone's brain, and you could figure out, oh, this bit of information corresponds to that brain region, this bit corresponds to that region, and then you could have stuff like you figure out, all right, well this bit of the brain is sexuality, this bit is intelligence, and you could literally just swap that. Yeah, you could get like a straight guy could get the sexuality of a gay guy.
Okay.
And literally just swap. And it's just like insane that you could do that. And so yeah, what I've said is you can have the simple one, it's like the copy paste like hybridized brain. Where say if we both uploaded our brains, like I could take your like curiosity and put that in my brain. That's like a simple copy paste. You could also do it from like artificially averaging. So say if I wanted a more creative like mind, but not from a specific person, I could go into a database, say, ask for creative minds, and then it'll process like a bunch of people's creativity. So and give me what it thinks is the best of that.
There'll be a list on the database of whose brain's been uploaded, and you can go, oh, look at what I'm here. What, like Einstein or something like that?
Yeah, it's like those old charts where it, like, it gave you like the score for each thing. Like, I had it on like the Wii Sports, so it was like reaction time, and then it had a line coming out, and then speed, and another line coming out, all the stuff like that.
Sure.
Then the other thing, which I think is also interesting, because it's sort of in a way cheating, is how actually an AI hybrid brain. So if you have, say, to like a neural network or something, make intelligence, and then you put that in your brain, because once you do that, you're like, well, what am I? who what is me as a person. Like, you become less you and you become something else, but you, but it still feels like you.
Yeah.
In some sense.
So I guess wouldn't it be almost an extension of yourself into the web? So I guess
yeah.
It's like, so nowadays, if I wanted to go find out something, most people do what they always do, is go to Google on the phone, and they go find the information. But I guess if it's kind of like digitally interlaced with an AI, it perhaps has already found that information before you even thought you needed it, and it's already gone and found the, you know, it's already run the search function in a way that's already found the actual data you want, the relevant data.
Yeah. But even stuff that's like, you wouldn't think AI would know anything about that. Like, it says sexuality. Like, AI doesn't know what sexuality is. You wouldn't think AI can have sexual attraction. But if it looks at everyone's image, which governs sexuality, it could sort of figure out what sexuality is. And then you could say, you could ask it, make me interested in blondes.
Like, yeah.
or not, or like gingers, or just any type. And it theoretically could do that for you.
Filtering out on Pornhub, isn't it? You know, so I don't want to look at that type. I want to look at all this type. Or, like you said there, if you're swapping out, you know, it's almost like running a minus symbol before a search string. I want to look for this stuff, but not that. It's incredible to think that hasn't as an idea for configuration. I'd like to hear you talking about like curing brain diseases. I mean, a lot of people. In fact, the very first episode I did about Curious World. In fact, I learned that my grandmother really suffered with dementia, and I wanted to learn how to prevent that from happening. How do I stave off what potentially is a genetic issue? So I spoke to a neurologist. I spoke to a person with a nutrition about how to do the things I needed to make sure that doesn't happen. So when I read things about curing brain disease, and that kind of like it ticks a box in my mind about how do you think that would work?
Well, in simply put, you just get the, say if it was the memory capability of someone, you get the memory capacity of a healthy person, and then just copy that into someone who doesn't have, who has like dementia or Alzheimer's, who can't make like short-term memories. No. I don't know if it would work for long-term damage, but certainly short-term like problems. Literally just copy a healthy version, put that into the damaged patient, and then they would once again have the ability to like remember things.
Yeah, because you think about, obviously it's a degenerative disease, so you could use an earlier save state effectively, you know, perhaps when they were 30 or 35, whatever, and now they're at a certain point where they're 60, 65 and the brain's starting to deteriorate. So here's your capacity to remember things again. Well, we'll never have those diseases come along. Because they can be artificially dealt with before they ever become a problem.
Or if you were like really like old when you had the upload process, you could use brain regions from like your kids or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that would probably be more likely to be like formatted correctly. I mean, I'm not sure how all of that would work, but you could do it, like, theoretically speaking, at least.
I was thinking about the idea of like translation, because I guess I saw it was interesting, a real-time translator in working on a conference not too long ago, and I thought like, that could be really useful. I guess we're just traveling the world, you have an earpiece in and you have a microphone in and it's translating in real time. I guess you literally are, if you are connected to a neural interface in some way, to a hive intelligence perhaps, or some kind of a interconnected web through your mind, you literally could have instantaneous translations. Language perhaps wouldn't even need to exist because you already know what it is that you're going to talk about.
Yeah, and like at that point there's just not really any point in education. Like if someone makes a scientific discovery, they can just upload that to like the cloud collective, then everyone like downloads that information and then everyone knows it.
That's a very good,
like, there's no need to like teach anything at all.
Well, that also poses the interesting view, I'd say, proprietary versus open source, isn't it? Because I guess if you could upload your brain, everyone else is doing the same thing. You're kind of almost self-criticizing all the other methods that are being looked at. So if you were to upload, like a new study, as you say there, the peer research effectively could be done instantaneously, and everyone could go,
Yeah.
wait, that bit's wrong, that's correct, and it would almost self-fix itself.
Yeah,
So you'd
yep,
have.
instantaneous fact checking, essentially.
Yeah.
Then there's also the issue of could you sell your brain, like in part, if you thought you were really intelligent, could you say, all right, you can have that part of my brain for like $1,000 or something? You could like, or you sell your creativity, you sell your sexuality, like all your experience. Like, it's just this new way of like generating money that just you haven't thought of at all.
Well, the idea is I haven't been to say that quite recently I reconnected with a friend I haven't spoken to in a very long time. And she's just been to Thailand. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to see some pictures of when you went. But like you said there's a very good example of, well, I actually know what it's like. I've seen everything that could possibly be there. I could almost relive their experience through a form of a video.
Yeah.
But that effectively is VR orientated. That's a
Yeah,
quite a.
but even I think I said this in my hardware enhancement post. There's no like human like senses. You have like two eyes, like a nose, a mouth, two ears, all of that. But could actually have like any camera array, and that if you formatted that correctly to be understood, that would be like that. You could have 3D vision. You could have the like ultra zooming lenses that like these smartphones are having now. You could even have cameras that are for like ultraviolet infrared sort of things.
It opens up a lot of possibility.
Yeah.
I also like how you were, as we started to talk, you were very astringent about how it could potentially destroy democracy, and how it would change. And you were very like, we need to make sure this is regulated. We need to make sure this is okay before we even go down this road.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
I liked how you incorporated that into your philosophy. But so is that so you don't want to see it rolled out unless it's had stringent.
Yeah, well, I think either way, democracy is going to go away at some point. If that happens too soon, you'll get anarchy. And there are multiple ways that this can happen. I've said multiple copies, which is where someone uploads their brain and it just makes various copies of that. They all think they're the same person trying to access the set, like a single resource, like bank information, someone's address, or something like that. Now, brain hacking, that's a huge, huge issue. If someone can just implant like ideas into someone's brain, like
Well,
not even
you've almost got a perfect assassin
subversively.
in some ways, haven't you?
Yeah. And then, but you might need to have a post-democratic era, which is what I said, where you either have you can have a benevolent dictator, which is scary because if they have all the power, there's no technological reason why they don't just control everything. Or you have some sort of a system similar to democracy that ranks everyone by like their legitimacy in some sense. So if someone has made like four or five copies of himself, you only give each copy like a quarter or one fifth of a vote or something. But that creates another huge problem that's easily like manipulated, because you can imagine like the worst case scenario where you could say, all right, black people only get 1% of a vote, which is just like absurd and insane.
Yeah.
But you could say, right, people who disagree with me on like even stupid things like football team, they're just not having a vote, they're not being able to choose who's in power. So I think at some point or another, there will be someone who comes along with a bad motive or something, and it could just take the entire system down, especially if there's not regulations.
Yeah, I guess I can see where you're coming from with that, because while a system could be okay, it can be overrun very quickly, particularly if you can interact with everyone. Because I guess we've seen that. Again, I don't want to be disrespectful to people who are Chinese, but I understand that they have their social structure out now, where there's a social scoring, isn't it? I think that's what it's been called, as we found.
Yeah.
Where you know, if you cross the road at the wrong place, you take a markdown on your score. You potentially can't travel on airfare if you come from a lower caste, if that's the right phrase. So if you come from a certain neighborhood, you can't travel on certain trains. You can't travel on airfare.
And that's like another episode of Black Mirror, Nosedive, where you literally have like a social media app that rates you, and then you'll have businesses that. Yeah, you'll have like businesses that say, all right, only 3-star and up people. So if you're like 2.9-star, you just can't, like, you can't get a coffee there or something.
Yeah, or you can't rent a car, or you can't, once you need she can't attend the wedding of her best friend who was a 4.2.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, man, that's just like that whole rating system. You know, a social rating given by everyone is just like scarily very, very here now. I'm sure we already do that.
I mean, it is literally here now. China.
I don't see how incorporated it is in, say, Western culture, but we have it in a kind of almost like a, not a benevolent way. It's kind of like you see the ratings of services, of businesses, or like TripAdvisor and stuff, or a Netflix video, whether this has a 96% upvote. And that almost socially scores you. I can't watch this because it only had a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I'm never going to watch it. But it turns out it might actually be all right. It just, most people just downvoted it because they, you know, socially giant decided not to.
Yeah. I mean, take like The Last Jedi. Some people did love that film, but a lot of hardcore Star Wars fans hated it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you said, all right, well, a lot of people liked it, it's got high ratings, you might think it must be a brilliant film.
Yeah.
But there are, like, you might watch it for sense.
Do you think then perhaps there's almost like a new level of journalism that could come out of that? In the same way that you have people who do reviews, say a newspaper or an online forum that has a method system, like Metacritic as a good example, where it's a combination of different outlets who do reviews. But there has to actually be content to why they've chosen 1 or 2 or 3-star or 5-star, whatever. There has to be a reason. They must give that in a form of a lengthy review. I mean, it's almost like self-checking. You know, all right, I understand that X amount of people have said this is a really bad movie. I can then go instantly check why. But I guess taking that system out into the real world, potentially other people, I can review this person, you know, who's only got a 3-star rating as a person or as an entity.
Yeah. I mean, you could like have that for people, but I mean, that just sounds like, to us, where that's not a system that we have in place, that just sounds like outrageous.
It does.
That someone could say, oh, we don't like that person, we're just going to like negatively rate them. Because you could have like some controversial figure and they just get like massive like downvotes and all that. Or you could have someone who's convicted of a crime that they didn't commit. Like, their ratings would go massively down.
Yeah.
Based on false information.
The interesting like herding of people on like social media, what's like exactly the case, you see that they'll attack someone or attack a film or an idea, and they have no skin in the game. They're just doing it because it appears to make them more likable within the circle that they want to have. And as such, you don't see anything beyond your circle online. So,
yeah,
man, it leaves a bit of a sour taste in the mouth, doesn't it? I think.
Just to bring some like positivity into this whole thing.
Let's flip that around. Let's make it positive. what positive things can be done with AI?
I made the post, 7 Reasons to Upload Your Brain. And I'd just like to go through that quickly.
That'd be really good.
At number 7, I put sustainability and efficiency. This is for like the green people. Currently, we've got a massive like movement trying to get us to go to like solar panels, electric cars, batteries, all of that.
Yes.
But there are always going to be things that like humans will do that are going to like pollute, like cooking meat, all of that.
Yep.
Like chemical processes. If you become a robot, you don't need lot of resources. Like,
Of course not. No, if you're a rower, you don't. I guess your only requirement would be power and storage, I
yes,
guess.
essentially, like power. And if you want to live as a robot, you need like the physical body. That's it. Like entire buildings that pollute. You wouldn't need like sewage stations because you don't need to go to the toilet.
That's
You wouldn't
right.
need restaurants. You wouldn't need nearly as much waste management. Like stuff like people chucking their McDonald's cups into the side of the road, it just wouldn't happen. You
No,
wouldn't
it wouldn't happen.
need a McDonald's. So sustainability would be like, I think that'd be the last big jump to sustainability, where we are completely like the minimal input required. What we've got here is hardware and software at number six. That's stuff like as humans we can do stuff to improve ourselves. We can like go to the gym. We can do like stuff like RFID implants. But as a robot, that comes a lot easier. You just upgrade whatever limbs you have. I mean, you could live as a car, go a lot faster. So that's okay. Cameras, you have super zooming in cameras, wide cameras in other light spectrums, all of that. Software's a big thing. There are obviously the surface level stuff like e-commerce. Like e-commerce is something you could have as like a virtual reality. So if you were buying or augmented reality, but if you're buying like a like I've got here a Echo Dot Alexa device, I could like have a virtual Alexa device, have that in my room, see how it would respond with augmented reality, and then if I liked it enough, I could like purchase it, or I could even get to the point where I don't need to purchase it, and the augmented version
It would
is
see
good
it was
enough by
there.
itself.
Yeah, it would notice that it actually was there. And I guess we're using VR now. I use VR quite a bit. It obviously it tracks it really well. You know, your positions and locations. If it notices you've got a table, you know, you can obviously look around the table and it knows that it's physically there. Yeah, you can literally have a virtual device that's never there,
Yeah,
but you've purchased it
like
like a digital purchase.
at that point, you don't even like. I mean, you don't really need a house, essentially. You just have a space, like even like a storage container. Just in your mind, it's a nice cozy bedroom, or like a nice place you can sit down and watch, like whatever film is on or something like that.
Yeah.
Or it can be all internal. You just upload yourself to the cloud and just not live in the physical world. Just live digitally. And then I've said gaming experience, which you touched on.
Yeah, well,
Fully simulated gaming with all sensors if desired.
I guess like
And
you made the mention here about Ready Player One's Oasis. I mean, that perhaps is the most
yes.
visually mental example perhaps that people can get right now, what that could
Yes,
potentially
that's the
look like.
closest in media that we have, I think. But like even Ready Player One, you have the guy Wade Watts. He puts on the VR headset, the gloves, and like the haptic suit and all that. There's still things he can't do that you can in a fully simulated reality. Like he can't physically fly. He can't feel temperature necessarily. You can't have like radar or sonar programmed into his brain where he understands what that is. It would still be just like a display thing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're uploaded, you could play like a underwater game as a submarine and like feel like you are a submarine.
Yeah, I can see why. I can see what you mean by that. You already are the submarine because you'll have the sensory inputs. What would be, the sonar going being sent out.
Yeah, or you can like essentially place yourself in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like pull what the like physics would feel like in that, and experience that as though you were one of the characters. Like you could like become Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Thor, anyone, and feel like you are that character.
Yes, I'm watching a roller coaster of a movie, quite literally. I guess as these movies are made more and more in pure CG, not using any actors at all apart from their likenesses, there's no reason why, effectively, you can't just be a character on the front of a camera on the front of Thor's head and watch the entire movie as if it's a whole movie playing out around you.
Yeah, essentially. Then we've got super customization. That's another the online, like digital, like internal stuff. That's a given. Like in the Oasis and Ready Player One, where everyone has their own avatar. But you could also do that in the real world. Like in modern times, we have people. Like I don't know how much of this you've seen, like people with like their bodies just covered with tattoos or makeup or like these like piercings like everywhere. They're still always limited to roughly a humanoid shape.
Yeah, I get
But
you.
yeah, like as we mentioned, you could become an Apache helicopter. Like it's insane.
Yeah. Or grow horns or a tail or have four arms
Yeah.
like Goro from Mortal Kombat or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and we got interstellar expansion. This is more about like a societal benefit.
Yeah, I like this one when I read it.
Yes, I don't know how much you follow SpaceX and all
I'm not as close perhaps as I should do.
Yeah, well, because they plan to go to like Mars in
Is it
early to
2032?
mid next decade, but that's quite hard to do for people because you need. You need oxygen, you need the protection, you need the food. But if you're a digital being, you don't need the oxygen, you don't need the food. You probably still want radiation protection. But as long as you've got like some access to power and potentially an internet signal to like have a backup so you don't permanently die, you could essentially go anywhere.
Yeah, I think as we do, and I really hope we get out to space. I think
Yeah.
as far as we know so far, we are the only intelligent beings in the universe, and I think we owe it to ourselves to actually achieve our dream. I mean, there's a kind of analogy I often give to people about how we've changed over the thousands and thousands of years. I mean, what motivated entire civilizations of people to build the grand monuments that they left for us? In what is the equivalent today? I think the equivalent today is to reach to the stars. I mean, we have to reach beyond our Earth because it is potentially. It almost feels like we're meant to. There's almost like this inkling that we always should get out there. Maybe we do need to have the technology to do that. If we can't even get past like the Van Allen radiation belts, not without extreme damage to our human cells. But to have a synthetic go out there in some kind of shape. And perhaps having them controlled by a human here, and that can be then changed to a different pilot or a different controller.
Yeah.
That seems a
Yeah,
very
because
viable option.
we can send the probes pretty much no problem. They can like go right to the edges of the solar system because they don't require much. They just have to get energy from the sun and to transmit data back.
Yes.
But if that suddenly becomes us, then the like you don't like a lot of the mass that there is for life support and all that just goes away. It becomes a lot easier.
Absolutely, because it gets past that technological boundary, doesn't it? Because
Yeah.
it's like fuel, resources, food, air, oxygen. Don't have to take it if you're sending out, an AI, or a synthetic human. But I guess they touch on
Yeah.
that quite a bit in Aliens, isn't it? There's the, is it David? Is it David? Aliens, Alien, where he has an artificial life that goes with him to. Assist them, and it ends up being the one thing that betrays them, which is, never
Yeah,
mind that.
how
But
is
hey,
it?
now, yeah, Hal from, I guess Hal's a fixed entity, isn't he, in 2001 Space Odyssey?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Right, and then number two, I've said knowledge. The fact that if you like as it is now, if like, you scroll through like, Twitter, people are quite slow at reading.
Yes.
Like computers process things very fast. Humans to read stuff, and especially to write stuff, is like a lot slower. But if you can like process stuff as fast as a computer, essentially you could just download the internet. I know that sounds like insane, but like it could probably take you still quite a while, but you could know like all of human knowledge, and everyone could know that. And there wouldn't be things like exploiting people's ignorance for your personal gain, because people go immediately, hang on a minute, that's not true. This is what's actually the case.
Yeah, it would bring a whole new level to again fact checking,
Yes.
which I think we deserve ourselves to have that, certainly in journalism as well, is to have important key information that actually is true, particularly when you're seeing perhaps the news skew in a certain way for political favour or because they're told to by a corporate sponsor, to have raw news and information, perhaps for some people that's perhaps a bit too much, but I think we owe it to ourselves to have facts on the ground.
Yeah. And then the well, for me, the number one reason to upload your brain is literally just the immortality of it. Like, I don't want to die. I don't think many people actively want to die. I mean, obviously there are like suicide bombers and people like that that like seek it out. But like to be able to experience all this time of human progression, I think that'd be amazing. Like to see us go from where we are now, where we're really inefficient, like everything's quite slow, to like millions of years in the future, where like, say, like colonized galaxies, like potentially even found alien life, potentially even created alien.
Yeah, so are we perhaps the first entity to actually create our own offspring that's actually not biologically part of our evolution? We've created something entirely from scratch. Because I think we have it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's probably the first we know of for sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I guess we are. We can't ask any aliens and then double check and fact check that for us. Who knows? Perhaps that's what aliens actually are. They are just AIs being sent to us. I've heard people talk about these greys. Effectively, they're all emotionless and they have no ideas and thoughts, and they appear to be very limited in their interaction with people. When you can, if we sent ourselves into space, would we send something that doesn't have those things, other than perhaps just cameras and the remote ability to touch and to see things? I don't know. Maybe we are. The aliens do come here, but they're actually just the AIs, but maybe I'm thinking too much.
Yeah, I mean that's always been a like a problem with me in like pop culture films. They've always got these advanced civilizations that are all still like their biological forms only slightly modified. Whereas I think realistically, when you get to about like we're like human civilization's about 12,000 years old, like modern technology. I think human species is about like 40,000 years old or something. But I think once you get to like a certain age in the like a species like technological progression, they'll probably figure out, hang on, there's no reason to stay to biological carbon-based systems and just go to digital, like immortal.
I can see the progression where that's going to be certainly going to be the case when we're going to go. But I think maybe would people want to be deleted? Would they want to have an experiment, potentially like a built-in fail safe? Is that sure the I've uploaded myself to the AI, to the core, or to some kind of external agent? Would you want that to have a fail safe that perhaps could then decide to go at some point? You know what? I'm going to turn myself off.
Yeah, I think you'd need that. I think there'd be a point where, for example, like one thing that people would say about immortality, they say that, like it's a common argument, probably out of ignorance, but they go, "Oh, you just get bored." I mean, I don't think you'd get bored for like a long time, but eventually, technology would go to the point where it's at its maximum theoretical like limits. And by that point, there's only so much you can do, like colonize more planets, you can go to more places. But once you've discovered like areas you can discover, then you could go, well, what's the point? And I think if you have that option to say, all right, this is enough. I've lived a long life. And I just want to like end it now, not experience anything more. And that would be a good option to have. Like, not even, you could have not even like complete shutdown. You could say, like internally say, like, wake me up in a million years or something. And then, like, you could see how much things have changed since then. And if nothing has, you could say, all right, I'll end it now. Or wake me up in 10 million years, 100 million years, a billion years. You could, like, wait right up to the end. You could pick and choose when you want to exist, which is insane to think about.
I guess on the scales of immortality, I mean, that would be well past the star point of our Earth, you know, to live, look back at our own planet be destroyed in like 4 million years' time, and just to see, you know, the sun go supernova and actually watch the Earth get, I don't know that we really are on our own after that point.
Yeah.
That's an incredible thought to have, isn't it? To look back at the Earth and go, everything we had was there, and we've managed to survive to this point, and now we're looking back and seeing it all end. That's quite a profound thought to have.
Yeah, indeed, definitely.
And particularly, I guess, when if you wanted to survive beyond bodily death, I still wonder what people would do first. You know, would you almost have a wish list of things you want to do in your digital self that you couldn't do in your real self? Or would actually just would it just amalgamate into the internet and just do its own thing? So would it lose personality?
I mean, potentially could. I mean, there's actually, I feel like a large proportion of like digital beings would go, like they'd experience the simulated reality worlds and go, this is so much more interesting. Why would I want to live in the real world and just do that? And then like you could, like even if you're like paralyzed, you could go into a simulated, like even now people who have like disabilities go into like VR and experience like skydiving and stuff.
Yeah.
I think you could have stuff similar to that.
So I guess that's perhaps the closest it is at the moment, isn't it? That you can, because I did wonder when we were talking earlier about like the end of life stuff, people who have disabilities, you know, who have potentially looking down at themselves with extra limbs they never saw themselves having, or they have an experience they physically can't do, like skydiving, to have that experience in a way that, you know, it transcends your physical capacity. Is that not already living in the cyber techno world as it is?
I mean, to some extent, yes. And there will always be things that we can't do in the real world just because of physics. Like, we can't have like infinity stones in the real world, but in a simulated world, you can program that in.
Like reversing time and walking through, like, yeah. Playing like Half-Life or something, playing like a portal rather than just walking through a portal into another one. I mean, that leads, I guess, was gaming your inspiration? Because you did touch on gaming quite a bit in your Generation Byte website. Are you a big gamer yourself?
No, I'm not really. No. But
you can see the potential.
I think when I saw Ready Player One, I was like, that's pretty cool stuff. Like the concept at least. I know the film writing could have improvements, but the concept is pretty interesting stuff. And then, like when I've got these ideas about digital immortality, I'm like, this could actually be improved a lot. Like, there's no reason to stop there.
So is that?
So, although I'm not much of a gamer myself, that's something that I can see myself doing if it gets so good.
As I said, I jump in and play around with the Infinity Stone and saying, oh, pretty awesome. So is that like an academic field you're going to be going into? Is that now where your education is going to lead you?
Personally, I think I'm going to go into engineering.
Okay.
I'm not interested in the biology aspect of it.
Okay.
I also think, and this is probably not going to likely to come to any like sort of fruition, but like I say a lot about the regulatory aspects. I would be at least interested in becoming like the politician who actually like saves democracy or something.
Creates
the regulation that is needed.
Well,
if no one else does it, then someone needs to do it.
And you're already making these thoughts already, obviously, on your website generation by now. So maybe that's actually where we should draw us to a close, actually, because I think that's quite a comfortable position now to say that we've kind of covered a wide range of spectrum of stuff. You know, the ideas, the potential, the dangers, the worries, the positives, the benefits. And again,
yep.
Looking at your future, what that's going to look like, man. So, Louis J. Cohen, I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's certainly opened my possibility in my mind, and hopefully many other people.
Yeah, thank you,
as well. But we're going to have to keep in contact, man. So, we'd love to see what it's like about seeing you down the line, to see where things have progressed and how much of this has come into fruition.
Yeah, okay. Well, to the audience, if you want to learn more, follow me on Twitter at Generation Byte or Instagram, also at Generation Byte. At the moment, I'm uploading weekly. Eventually, that will become more regular, more frequent, rather. Feel free to contact me on social media. And thanks a lot for having me.
No, I wanted to talk with you, man. You really inspired me to get in touch with you. I was like, dude, this guy knows what he's talking about. And this is why I arranged to have this conversation. So that's the mind flowing, I think. And that's what I don't think people do very much anymore.
For those listening on audio, please feel free to check out Our Curious World also on YouTube, where you can watch the video version of this interview with an extended segment called Exclusive After the Bell. That's available on YouTube / Christian Lander. Thank you very much for taking the time out to join me here today. I really do appreciate it. But if I could just ask one more thing of you, you could just press like, dislike, leave a comment, or press subscribe. You could do any on all of those things, but it allows me to know whether I'm producing the kind of content that you want to listen to. I do produce a variety of content, especially on YouTube and out into the world of social media. So please, if you would, thank you very much. I'm Christian Lander. Until next time.